Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be a dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And then over in the 18th chapter of the book of 1 Kings, and in the 41st verse, it says, "And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And he said unto his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked, and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel." Our thought this morning, and I guess it's going to seem a little strange, is it's going to rain. And each and every one of you this morning are probably thinking, well, you couldn't have picked something more accurate or more obvious. As we were traveling to church this morning, it was raining cats and dogs, and I thought, we'll never get there because traffic will be terrible. As you get on the interstate there in Franklin, you have three lanes of interstate to head down here, and as you get closer to Nashville, it gets into two, and traffic gets a little worse and worse and worse as you get here. But as we got closer, there was no traffic. There was almost no cars, even though it was raining as hard as it was. And our thought, as I said this morning, is it's going to rain, and I don't mean just a physical rain. We know and realize here in the 17th chapter of the book of 1 Kings what Elijah was talking about. We know and realize that Ahab had just became king of Israel. And I believe we can read over in the 16th chapter, and it talks about how Ahab was the most wicked king that Israel had ever seen. He had done more to defile the Lord and done more against God than there had ever been before. Any king that had ever stood before Israel, he had done more to bring reproach upon the Lord than any of them. And I believe we realize and know that Elijah was a great man, and the prayers that he prayed, we read about in James in 5. It talks about the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I believe Elijah was a very righteous man. I believe his prayers touched the Lord, because he prayed that there would be no rain upon this land as long as they were doing some of the things that were going on. Now we know and realize that Israel had gotten into some paganism. They had gotten into some idolatry. Boy, Ahab really subscribed all of those things, because he was a wicked, wicked man. And he tells Ahab, and he begins to pray that there would be a drought in this land. No rain or no dew would come, because he wanted to show the power of God. Now we know and realize in the time that we live in that we must have rain to sustain ourselves. The food that we eat, the cattle and the livestock that we partake of, there must be some kind of rain to sustain those things. But there was no rain in Israel for 3 years. No dew, no rain from the heavens. There was none of that. Can you just imagine the shape that they had gotten in? Probably no food, everything. If it gets dry in the summer around here, you can go up to a tree and just break off a limb because it's so dry. The grass gets dry. Everything gets dry around it. The grass turns brown, and it's not very pretty to look at. I can only imagine what Israel must have looked like with no rain for 3 years. We know and realize, as we read on in the 17th chapter, some of the things that Elijah came in contact with. This is the chapter with the meal and the cruse of oil. We know and realize that the poor widow there in Israel, she had gotten to a point where she was just ready to die. She'd gotten down to where she had all that she had left was just a little meal and just a little oil in her cruse. She was going to go make a cake for her and her son, and that they were just going to die because they knew there was no way they could sustain themselves anymore. And Elijah comes up to him, and he begins to talk to him, and he says, "You make me that cake. You go and make me just that little cake." And the lady, I believe she probably was like, "You're really going to take all that I have? You're going to take just the little bit that I had. You're going to take the last little bit of enjoyment that I have away from me." And Elijah says, "If you'll do this, the Lord will bless you." What did he bless her with? He blessed her with just enough oil and just enough meal to make cake. This oil or whatever kind of nourishment that she had that she would make. I believe there was just enough to sustain themselves for as long as this drought was in Israel. Isn't that the way it is in our church just today? There's a drought. There's a drought in our churches today. We know and realize that people don't get saved like they used to. Our churches aren't as spiritual as they used to be. Because there's a famine in the land. There's a drought in our churches. But I'm so thankful that God sustains His church with just a little bit. He gives us just what we need when we need it. I'm thankful for that this morning. I'm thankful that God gives us what we need when we need it. God knows better than I do about His plans and His timing. I think about, there's a song that the Primitive Quartet used to sing. "Here comes Jesus, right on time." He's always right on time for His people and the people that He loves in His church. We go on over into the 18th chapter of the book of 1 Kings. And the tune kind of changes a little bit about this rain. In the first verse, it says, "And it came to pass after many days, 3 years. Came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go and show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." Now we know and realize that Elijah probably was very scared of what he was going to run into. I believe Elijah was known for the good things that he'd done. I believe Elijah was a very a great man of God, and I believe he knew that he had the Lord on his side. But can you imagine going up before the king of Israel and telling him that it's going to rain? Can you imagine going up before him and saying, "It's going to rain. We've not seen rain in 3 years, but it's going to rain." Ahab had sent out Obadiah into the hinder parts of the country to find grass to sustain the horses and just the few little bits of livestock that they had left. I believe God was showing Ahab through his disobedience and the things that he had done just exactly his power. But we're going to get to that a little bit more here in just a minute. But I believe he was showing him his power. Ahab had done gotten scared and to the point that he was sending people out as far as they could go to find just a little bit. He needed just a little bit to keep it going. Obadiah, I believe the Bible tells us, was a man of God, and I believe he worked for Ahab, and I believe he had a hard time with that. Elijah finally gets to Ahab, and a little bit of a contest takes place on Mount Carmel. It's something that I'm sure most of us have read many, many times. We know that Ahab liked his gods. And I'm not talking about the God with the big G. I'm talking about the gods with the little G and the S on the end. Because he believed in multiple gods at this point. He believed in a lot of idolatry. There was all kinds of things that he was praying to except the true one that he needed to be praying to. So Elijah asked him, he says, "Let's go up into the Mount of Carmel and let's test this out." So Ahab, just being sure of himself, invites all of Israel to see this. He invites all of Israel to see the things that were going to take place on this mountain. And this is where it gets really, really good for me. Because God showed His power. Poor Ahab, he didn't have a chance. Ahab went up into this mountain. They began to have this contest. They began to, I guess if you want to put a name on it, they would say, "Look, let me show you how big my God is. Let's just see who has the bigger God." And as they went up to this mountain, Ahab's God didn't respond to him. They didn't do the things that Ahab wanted them to. He wanted to show the power his gods had. And there was no power there. Then we get to over to, and I believe Elijah even begins to mock them. It came to pass at noon in the 27th verse. It says, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. Maybe your God's asleep. Maybe you need to wake him up. He was mocking of these gods that Ahab had. And then it came time for Elijah to show his God. It came time for Elijah to show the power of his God. And I want you to remember that all of Israel was standing around watching this. The 36th verse, and it says, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, the Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. And this is really where it gets good. And Elijah said unto Ahab, I've already read this, but we're going to read it again. And it said, Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. What we had just witnessed here was these people truly realized who was God. As we've gathered here today, we've got to show people who our God is. Because when we show people who our God is, it's going to rain in our churches. It will rain lots of spiritual blessings upon His church that we haven't seen in a long time. You know, there are people that don't even believe in God today. But we've got to show them who our God is. They hadn't seen rain in 3 years. And here Elijah is saying it's going to rain. We've not seen it in a long time in our churches. But I believe if we'll come together as God's people, it will rain in our churches. We'll see these lost people get under conviction in such a way that they'll hit the altar in ways. Oh, that ways they won't be able to turn away from Him. We'll see our churches full. I'm not worried about numbers. I'm not worried about numbers at all. What I'm worried about is these lost people that don't have a testimony of salvation. We can fill this church house up with saved people. And that'd be good. But we've got to fill it up with lost people. We've got to go out and compel them to come in, because they don't know to come in if we don't tell them. They don't know if we don't tell them. These people could have gone on for years believing that Ahab's gods were correct. Oh, but Elijah followed the Lord. And what did he do? He turned their hearts back again. He showed them who the God was. He didn't leave any doubt in their mind that it was going to rain. I was thinking this morning as we were coming in about the rain, and I believe Mom made this thought. She said, it's coming a flood. Oh, I can't wait to the time in our churches when it comes a flood. When it becomes such a flood in here that there's no way we can stand except to praise the Lord. Have you ever been in those services where people are praying and they're asking God, they're inviting the Lord into their services? We can meet here every Sunday morning, Wednesday night, Sunday night, every night of the week. But if we don't ask God to come in those doors with us, it'll be no good. Because it's got to rain in our church. And it's got to start with the effectual fervent prayer of righteousness. It's got to start with us here about people. If we won't see lost people saved, it's got to start with us, because it's got to rain.
these altars aren't full anymore. Where they're not using it like it needs to be used. Brothers and sisters, I'm not too afraid to get down on my hands and knees and bow at this altar to show lost people what they must do. We've got to use it too. We have got to pray to the Lord and ask Him to help us. And ask Him to meet with us. Oh, He's got to meet with us not only here. He's got to meet with us in every aspect of our life. From the time that we get up in the morning to the time that we go to bed at night, He has got to be with us. Why did the Lord listen to Elijah? What made Elijah so special? Well, He told Elijah, He said, "You go pray for rain." You look at what kind of shape Elijah had to get into before the Lord would hear him. He had his head between his knees in supplication with the Lord. Brothers and sisters, if it takes us getting on flat on our face and begging the Lord to meet with us, then that's what we have got to do, because it's too important for these lost people to die and go to hell. He asked the Lord the one time. And isn't this just the way that we are? He got down on his face and on his knees. And he said to his servant after he got up, he said, "Go now and look toward the sea." He thought just that one time would be all that it would take. He thought just one time that God would open it up and the clouds would begin to rain. Oh, no, no, no. The Lord said, "You go back 7 times and you pray." I want you to know what happened when he went back that 7th time. What happens? He looked out and he didn't see a great big cloud. He saw a little bitty cloud like a man's hand. Brothers and sisters, it don't take a shouting service with 100 lost people getting saved to say that we've had a good service. It don't take that kind of thing. But what it does take, it takes us praying. And when God meets with us, following Him to the ends of the earth, even if it's just a little bit, it's still enough. When we do the little things, I believe in the little things. People like to look at the big scheme of things, the overall picture. If you've ever put together a puzzle, you've got to put it together one piece at a time. It doesn't come together. I've never took a puzzle out of the box and threw it on the floor and said, "Well, look at that pretty picture it just made." You've got to put some time and some effort into it. And you've got to sit with it. And I like puzzles because I like to make my mind work. And I like to see how I can make this fit together. I like looking for the right pieces and looking for the right things that I can find to make this beautiful picture show up. I like to look for that. But it don't happen overnight. I'm not the world's fastest puzzle builder. It takes me a while sometimes. Sometimes you'll have to sit there a while and I'll have to step away and think about it. And then I'll come back and I can start putting the pieces. Slowly but surely, that picture starts to form. What is the picture that we want to form this morning? It's that it's going to rain. Brother Taylor made this statement last Sunday as we were leaving Sunday school, and it has stuck with me all week long. He said he knew a woman. This may be a joke. I don't know how he meant it, but there were some people at a church that were praying for rain. And they said only one little old woman came with her umbrella. She came expecting that when she prayed for that rain, that it was going to rain. Brothers and sisters, we've got to come to His house expecting God to bless us. We've got to come in the doors ready and excited and willing to worship Him if we want to see it rain in our churches. These farmers, and I don't know the first bit about farming, I'll just be honest with you. I could probably kill a crop or a plant faster than anybody because I'd forget to water. But this is something that we've got to water. The Lord must increase and we must decrease. We've got to let the Lord do His work. But we've got to be the workers in His vineyard. Not our vineyard. We've got to work in His vineyard here at Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. Because I want to see lost people saved. And I hope all of us want to see these lost people running in the door saying, "The Lord, save my soul." It's going to rain. You might say, "Well, I know it's going to rain. You can look outside and see it's going to rain." I don't mean that this morning. I mean it's going to rain in our churches. people say, well, you're very optimistic. I'd rather be optimistic. It's to be one of those that say everything's doom and gloom and nothing good's ever going to happen again. Because I believe that the Lord still has us under His control. You know, He could have just very well said to Israel, forget you, and wiped them off the map. But He gave them 3 years. He gave them time to get themselves where they needed to be. I thought about that this week, and I thought, you know, the Lord must have loved Israel. You know, when I think about His churches, and I may have preached this last week, and if I did, I'll just have to say it again. But our churches, oh Lord have mercy, our churches, they need for us to be builders of the wall. We've got to get to work. And I don't mean a bad work. I don't mean standing out in the yard with your shovels or doing anything like that. I mean, if it's just praying. If it's just in the middle of the week, you're thinking about church, and you're thinking about the service, you're thinking about somebody that hasn't been there, you think about somebody that was there and their prayer request, and you think, well, I wonder how they're doing. Maybe you pick up the phone and call them and say, how are you today? You've got somebody on your heart that's lost. You pick up the phone and say, I'd like to invite you to Mount Calvary Sunday morning. We'd like for you to be there with us. Brothers and sisters, we're here this morning. We're the reason that the lights are on. We have got to know and understand that it's going to rain. I'm thankful that Elijah didn't just say after that first time he got up off his hands and knees, he said, it's not going to rain. Give up. Go on. I don't believe it would have ever rained if he'd done that. You know, it's easy to give up when things don't look good. You know, there's been times in my life when I have not seen, been able to see. I mean, I've thought that just things could not get any better than what they were. Boy, they just looked terrible. And I want you to know, these people in Israel, they probably thought the exact same thing. But I want you to know, when they saw that first little bit of rain start to fall, they probably became so overjoyed. I can just hear them shouting now. Brothers and sisters, I want to be able to shout and tell people about how good God is. I want to be able to stand in the courts of this house, in the courts of wherever I am, and say, God has been good to us because it's raining over there in Israel. Because it's raining with us. You know, we look at other places, and I told you that Ahab had done sent out Obadiah to look in other places. He didn't send him out because he knew that the place he was at, he wasn't going to work. But Elijah came, didn't he? We have got to know and understand that it's going to rain. And I want you to know, it wasn't easy for Elijah. Ahab, if you know anything about him, was married to Jezebel. And we know what kind of woman that Jezebel was. She was a very evil, hateful, wicked woman. And I believe she got after old Elijah. She heard about the things that he was saying. But we know how Jezebel ended up. It didn't fare too well for her. I believe it was Paul. It says it is hard to kick against the pricks. Let it be hard for people to kick against us. You know, I'm not going to say it's going to be overnight. You know, this is, I'm not really being ordained pretty soon to be y'all's pastor. I'm not, I guess technically, your pastor yet. But in my heart, I'm here to serve you all in any way that I can. I'm going to close up my message here pretty soon, but I want to relate to you this morning. I wanted to wait to do this after I got done preaching. I want to relate to you how I knew that I was supposed to be here with you all. And I want you to know I've known this for a very long time. Brother Colin called me one night, and I was sitting at a Chinese restaurant with my family. And he called, and I didn't know the number. I almost just disconnected. But when you're a preacher, you've got to answer the phone calls that you don't know the numbers, because sometimes people are calling and giving an appointment. So I called, I answered. Brother Colin Dyer, and he said where he was from. And asked if I had an appointment. I guess it was on Thursday, I think, that he called. And he said, would you come preach for us Sunday? Of course. That's an opportunity open. I'll go preach. And after I got off the phone, I was sitting down at the table. And I'd already had an appointment that night at Fairview. And I was sitting down at the table, and I just couldn't even. The food didn't taste real good to me anymore. I was kind of done with everything. And before I even knew who y'all were, y'all were on my mind. Before I even knew what the church looked like, prayed all week, the rest of the week, what little time I had. I didn't have a thought for Sunday night for nothing in this world. I was Thursday, and I was getting work because I like to be able to study and pray. Sometimes God didn't give
anyone from here just as soon as I got off the phone and I put that on. Got there on that Sunday morning. I fell in love with all of them. Y'all were asking prayer requests, and they just got right in my heart. And I thought, Lord, what is going on? I've been to churches where they didn't have pastors, and I filled in for places, and they've never bothered me like that before. But I got up here to preach, and I was preaching, and my mom has heard this because I'll tell you in a minute what happened to me that night. But I was up here preaching, and it was like all at once the world seemed to stop. I know it didn't because you all didn't make a reaction. My guy stood still and frozen on the top of y'all's platform here. But it's like the Lord said, here. Lord, what does that mean? Do I need to join here? Lord, you can't call me a pastor. I'm 22 years old. I can't do this. And I went with that thought. But Colin came up to me and I said, I'm about where it's supposed to meet the Lord, I guess. And he asked if I'd come back a couple Sundays later. And I thought, and I had a thought just as quick as it came to me right there. I've never had that happen. And I was, I'll be honest with you, from that moment in the pulpit, I knew that I was supposed to be here. I didn't know how I was supposed to be here. Didn't know when I'd get to be here. But I knew that I was supposed to be here. We left, and I just pulled out of the parking lot. I looked back at church, and I just had this sense of longing to be here. I wanted to be here. Went to Fairview that night, and I made the biggest mess in the sermon that I had ever made in my entire life because the only place that I wanted to be was here with you all. All I could think about was all of y'all's faces when I got up there to preach. I made the biggest mess there ever has been. I know I had, if it's recorded anywhere, I hope they destroy it because I know it was a mess. Mom rode home, I guess, to my grandparents or whatever because her car was at their house. I got home before she did and I was sitting at the kitchen table. I'd already gotten down on the floor and I began to pray because I had this burden for you all that I didn't know and I couldn't explain. And I began to pray. And I was in bad shape and I sat at the table when Mom came in and she said, what's wrong? She tells something wrong. And I said, I think my cavern's going to come. I had no idea. I'd only been here one time. Didn't know you all. Didn't even know y'all. I thought, those people may not even think I'm worth anything. They may just be ready to dismiss me and go on. And so, came back that next time, pulled in the parking lot, and my love grew stronger. I was like, oh, really? I could not wait to get here. You can ask Mom. I was just so excited to get here. And she's probably heard about Mount Calvary enough in the last few months, the last of her lifetime. She'll just have to keep listening. But anyways, I came there next time, I just fell in love with y'all a little bit more. And I leave, and the next Sunday I was preaching at Walnut Grove, and I went in the offspring. When I got up to preach at Walnut Grove, you know where I wanted to be? I wanted to be preaching to you all, and I don't mean that in a, I like preaching to you all. I wanted to be here with y'all. I wanted to work with y'all. And so, I don't feel like I've done very well there either. I just feel like everywhere I've been, unless I've been here the last few months, I made a mess of it. I got there and had good service in both places. And I just kept telling Mom. I said, I just hope. And I would, Brother Coleman wouldn't ask if I wanted to come back. I'd come back when I leave. And I think, well, that's going to be the last time I'm ever going to go to Mount Calvary and preach. And I'd sit there and I'd think, boy, I wish Brother Coleman would call and ask me to come back and preach. And I'd watch that phone like a hawk. And he'd call. And I'd jump up off. I'd be wherever I was at. And I'd forget whatever I was doing. And I'd go in for the phone call. And I'd call Mom and say, guess where I get to go? I get to go back to Mount Calvary. She'd be just as happy because she knew I had a burden. The third time that we came, and I promise I will be done, I don't want to keep y'all too long, but I feel like I need to relay this to y'all this morning. Third time that we came, I got in the car afterward, and I believe my grandmother looked at me and she said, I know where you're supposed to be. She knew where I was supposed to be. Never said a word to her about my burden. Mom knew that I was only two people with me. And I said, I know where I'm supposed to be. And I said, I just hope I get to go back. And I tell Mom, I said, maybe I just need to go back one more time. Maybe they'll let me come back just one more time. And then Brother Coleman called for a week. And I think, well, they're done with it. And then I'll call back. And here comes Brother Coleman calling me. You come preach you. Of course I'll come preach you. I've turned out every appointment in the world to come preach you. He would call and I come back. And this happened. It's in my career. And then I got to meet. I was at the missions conference with Brother Coleman and Sister Jean and Willie Pete. And they asked, I didn't dream that this would be the question I'd ask, but have you ever thought about maybe passion for us? And I was like, ding, 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 it's over. From that moment on, my burden exploded because I knew. I had known that this is where I was supposed to be. I was sitting at Pleasant Hill a few Sundays ago, and Lord knows I love that church. Only thing I can think about is I wonder how service is going in Mount County. I want you all to know this morning that I love, and I want y'all to know last Sunday, came and preached, and I felt like I got up in the parson, and mom was the biggest mess. They won't call me pastor for nothing. She said, "You're always too hard on yourself." And I was driving home, and I kept thinking, well, they're just not going to call. They really didn't call me pastor. And we got to step up to Charlie's. We was eating, and I had what I thought would be a real good dinner, and Brother Colvin called, and that just tore up my dinner. That steak and chicken didn't look so good anymore, and that's okay. And because I'd rather give up food for you all and any people I know. And y'all know the Baptist preachers can put away some chicken. And if I have to give that up for you all, then that's just what I have to do. And I will lay this to y'all tonight before, this morning before I close. I guess it was long about Wednesday night. There was a big storm. I guess it was Thursday morning, actually. There was a big storm coming through. And laying in bed in the way that my bed is in the room, I can see my window and I could see the lightning flashing and I could hear thunder. And woke up and all of you all just got on my heart. And I laid there for the awfulest, longest time, and I thought, Lord, you're not going to let me go back to sleep. But I began to pray for you all. I began to think, Lord, I believe. And he gave this thought to me, I guess, Thursday or Friday. And as I laid there, I thought, there's no other people that I would rather lose sleep over than Mount Calvary. Because I love y'all so much that I just can't hardly stand it. The Webster's Dictionary does not have enough words in it to describe love for the way that I feel about you all. I came down here Friday night and nobody was here and I just wanted to be here. I hadn't been able to be here since you all called me to be your pastor, of course it was just last week, but I parked the car kind of long ways out here and I got out and I got right down in front of the doors out here and I began to pray. And I'm pretty sure if the neighbors were outside, they probably think some insane person was out here screaming and hollering, but I was praying to the Lord and I was asking the Lord to bless us here. And he'd already given me the thought, it's going to rain. And I began to say, Lord, just let it rain. Lord, and if you fill the house up and float the benches out, just let it rain on us. Please let it rain. Please bless Mount Calvary in a great way. Not for our honor and glory, because it's not about us. It's about him. And it's about these lost people. I'm going to close this morning. And I want you to know something. I believe that it's going to rain here at Mount Calvary. Let's all put our hearts and our minds where Elijah's was. Let's get on our knees, and if it takes seven times with our head between our knees to do it, I don't even know if I can get in that shape, but I'd certainly try. But let's get in such a shape that this church and the lost people weigh on us mightily. Let's invite people, because I believe it's going to rain here. I believe it's going to flood. I'm thankful for you all this morning. I'm thankful to be able to be with y'all. I am already so sad that I can't be here next Sunday. It just breaks my heart because I'm ready to get started. I'm ready to get to work. I'm ready to see the Lord bless us. I want y'all to know, even though I can't be here next Sunday, I'm going to be way up in Indiana, but my heart will be here at Mount Calvary because y'all have had my heart since January 15th of this year. And I pray the Lord just lets me stay here just as long as he'll let me. I hope I don't ever have to leave the way that I feel today. But brothers and sisters, let's let it rain. Let's bring our umbrellas and say, Lord, you just let it rain. We're expecting you to bless us. May God bless you is our prayer. Let's have a song. Let's have a handshake this morning.